Shalom. I am Jeff Mills, and you are listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaAmet, brought to you by HaAmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teachings, resources, and information about HaAmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haamet.org. That's www.haemet.org. Blessings, and may our Abba continue to guide you and lead you into all truth. Shabbat Shalom.
Prayer is an intensely personal way of communicating with our Abba. And sometimes I think we lose sight of what it really means to pray. And we need to remember that we are speaking to our Elohim, the one who made us and put us here, the one we owe everything to, the one who watches over us and protects us, the one who makes provision for us. The creator and sustainer of all that we see and all that we know. And there needs to be a reverence and a respect and honor given. You know, sometimes it seems like people just think he's there at their beck and call and they can speak to him any way they want to and he's just going to jump to and do whatever they want. And that's not our Abba. He is a holy and righteous Elohim. And we need to remember that when we come to him. Prayer is not to get attention from others. And it is not to impress others. And it's not to make us look like we're better than anyone else. It's not to make us appear to be more righteous than anyone else. And it's not to make it look like Abba listens to us more than anyone else. It is a privilege that we are given to be able to come before him and speak to him. And for him to hear us. And he's not there just to do our bidding. We cannot force his hand and we cannot demand from him. But we can appeal to him. And we are to come humbly before him. Could you imagine someone just bursting into the throne room and yelling out, "I have a request," or even demanding? We have to remember who we are speaking to. Even the high priest had to approach him in a certain way. And he could only come into his presence when he did things the way he was supposed to do them. And remember what Yah told Moshe? Tell Aharon not to come in here just any time he chooses. Because if he does, he will die. Prayer is a way for us to make our needs and concerns known to Yah. And prayer is a way for us to seek answers and to seek his will. It's a way for us to seek his intervention for ourselves in our lives and in the lives of others. And prayer is a way for us to petition him. And we are to come to him with prayer and supplication, to humbly submit our requests and to pour out our cares and concerns. And supplication is an interesting word because it means to entreat and to petition. It means we come in a humble state. It's almost like laying your plea before him. And there are times when we should come before him pleading. And I think about that every time that I'm praying for someone else, that I need to be pleading for them. Because when someone is in need of our prayers, they're in trouble. Whether it's healing, something happening in their life. Because all of those things point back to what? Your spiritual condition. And we need to plead for one another. The Hebrew word for pray is palal. And it comes from a primitive root that means to judge. That's interesting, isn't it? And by extension, it is to intercede and to pray. And it's interesting to think about prayer in that way, isn't it? Because we're bringing something to Yah and asking him to judge and then to take action. Acts 1 verse 13. He does judge and weigh our requests, our petitions that we bring to him and put before him. Acts 1, verse 13. And when they came in, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, both Kepha and Yaakov and Yochanan and Andre, Philippe, Toma, Bartholomew, and Matityahu, Yaakov, the son of Alphai, and Shimon the Zealot, and Yehuda, the son of Yaakov. All these were continuing with one mind in prayer and supplication with the women and Miriam, the mother of Yeshua, and with his brothers. Those whom Yeshua told to wait in Jerusalem were gathered together with one mind in prayer and supplication. Echad. Amen. They were humbly seeking Yah. When that word is included, it means they were beseeching him. They were seeking him. You know, most of us have learned our manner of praying through example. We have seen the example of others. And some of us were taught by our parents as we were growing up. And some of us have learned by watching others around us in whatever religious organizations we have attended. And that doesn't necessarily mean those examples were the right way to pray, does it? or are the right way to pray. And most people pray in a very ritualized way. And they follow the same pattern each time and say the same things. And we can all think of religious organizations that do that, can't we? And that bleeds into people's personal lives because that's what they've been taught and that's what they're used to doing. Some people pray as if they're giving a sermon and they go on and on and on. While others have just a few short, simple words to say, direct and to the point. Some people do not mind praying publicly, and other people, it scares them to death. I knew a man, you could stand and carry on a conversation with him normally without a problem, but the minute they would call him to come up and pray, he just stuttered so bad he could hardly even get the words out. It just terrified him to pray in front of people. And that's okay. We have to be sincere when we pray to our Abba. And we have to go before him with hearts and minds that are truly seeking him and truly seeking his face. We can all tell when people are praying insincerely, can't we? I know for myself personally, there's been a couple of instances where I have went to an elder to be prayed for, and I could tell it was just, their heart wasn't even in it. They weren't showing concern and care for me in their prayer. And you feel that. You know that. Now, when we pray for someone, it better be from the heart. And we better mean it. Because we're speaking to our Yah and asking for his help and his intervention. And we should pray for others as we pray for ourselves and mean it. Now, when we need answers to questions, when there are big decisions before us, we need to take those to him. And many times people think the things they're facing in their life are not important enough to bring to Abba. But they are. Some of the things that we think are small and don't matter can have huge implications down the road that we can't see, but he does. And we need his guidance and we need his help. 1 Samuel 8, verse 4. First Samuel 8, verse 4. And all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "Look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a sovereign to rule us like all the nations." But the word was evil in the eyes of Samuel when they said, "Give us a sovereign to rule us." So Samuel prayed to Yah, and Yah said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from reigning over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other mighty ones, so they are doing to you too. As Samuel thought, what Israel wanted was evil, and he was not going to give in to them. But he went to Yah and asked him. It was the right thing to do. Did Yah already know what Israel wanted? Yes. He did. Samuel was a judge, and he had a responsibility to make decisions for those people. But he also had a responsibility to go to Yah and seek out his answer and to find out what he wanted done. So Samuel prayed. He humbled himself before Yah. He could have just made his own edict and ruling right there, couldn't he? But he went to Yah to seek his answer and ask him to judge and tell him what to do. Daniel also went humbly before Yah. Daniel 9, verse 1. Daniel 9, verse 1. In the first year of Dareyoesh, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, who was set up as sovereign over the reign of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed from the scriptures the number of the years according to the word of Yah given to Yirmiyah the prophet for the completion of the wastes of Jerusalem would be 70 years. So I set my face toward Yah, the Elohim, to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to Yah, my Elohim, and made confession, and said, O Yah, great and awesome El, guarding the covenant and the kindness to those who love him and to those who guard his commands. Daniel did not demand. He did not command. He did not make assumptions, and he did not speak presumptuously. He went seeking and asking. And Daniel began by preparing himself. Have you ever thought about that? About preparing yourself before you pray. Then he went before Yah, and the first thing he did was give him praise and honor. After that, he began to confess the sins of Israel. And then he laid his petition before Yah. And look what happened. Daniel received a response to his prayer before he was even finished. Verse 20 of chapter 9. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before Yahweh my Elohim for the set apart mountain of my Elohim, while I was still speaking in prayer, the man Gavriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, came close to me in swift flight about the time of the evening offering. And he made me understand and talk with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to make you wise concerning understanding. He's bringing the answer to Daniel's prayer. At the beginning of your supplications, a word went out, and I have come to make it known, for you are greatly appreciated. Can you imagine Yah sending a messenger to tell you that? I heard your word immediately, and you are greatly appreciated. Because Daniel approached him in the right way. So consider the word and understand the vision. And he gave him understanding. One of the examples I have read over and over is David's prayer of repentance. It's beautiful. And it always hits me when I read it. Because it is a heartfelt appeal for forgiveness and restoration. David pours out his feelings and he has a heart-to-heart conversation with Yah. How many of us hold back when we pray to him? How many of us hold back feelings, hold back words, hold back emotion, hold back what's really going on in our lives? Why do we do that? Do we want him to hold back from us? We want to draw as close to him as we can possibly be. And that means sharing everything. He already knows. He wants to hear it from us. Because that shows our surrender to him. Our complete and total surrender, knowing there's nothing we can do in and of ourselves to affect these things. And we're throwing ourselves on his altar and bringing our petition. You know, David seeks restoration and he realizes his relationship with Yah is in serious trouble. And that it is all his fault. He brought it on himself. And he approaches Yah humbly and with supplication. Psalm 51, verse 1. Psalm 51, verse 1. Show me favor, O Elohim, according to your kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me completely from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone, have I sinned and done evil in your eyes, that you might be proven right in your words. Be clear when you judge. See, I was brought forth in crookedness, and in sin my mother conceived me. See, you have desired truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you make me know wisdom. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I am clean. Wash me, and I am whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my crookednesses. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your set-apart spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your deliverance, and uphold me, noble spirit. Let me teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners turn back to you. Deliver me from blood guilt, O Elohim. Elohim of my deliverance, let my tongue sing aloud of your righteousness. O Yah, open my lips, and that my mouth declare your praise. For you do not desire slaughtering, or I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The slaughterings of Elohim are a broken spirit, A heart broken and crushed, O Elohim, these you do not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Yerushalayim. Then you would delight in slaughterings of righteousness, in burnt offering and complete burnt offering. Then young bulls would be offered on your altar. David certainly had a way with words, didn't he? And the difference is, he had the heart behind those words too. We don't have to try to get Yah's attention. He hears the words of his people. He knows the needs of his people. He knows where we are in our lives. We don't have to yell and shout and run around in front of others. And we've all seen examples of that, haven't we? Down through history, it is the priests and followers of false gods who perpetuated a style of prayer that we still see happening today. We still see it. 1 Kings 18, verse 25. 1 Kings 18, verse 25. And Eliyahu said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many. And call in the name of your mighty one, but set no fire. So they took the bull which was given them and prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, oh, Baal, answer us. But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they leaped about the altar which they had made. And it came to be at noon that Eliyahu taunted them and said, cry aloud, for he is a mighty one. He is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or it could be that he is asleep and has to be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves according to their ruling with knives and spears until the blood gushed out of them. And it came to be when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of bringing the evening offering. But there was no voice, and no one answered, and no one paying attention. What does that say about these people that put on these big shows? Calling on his name. Where does Yah's word tell his people to do things like that? In some of these ancient religions, which we still see remnants of today under different names, did things that were abominable to Yah. They were abominable in his sight. They had vile, evil practices, which he does not tolerate. You know, he tells his people clearly how to approach him and how to worship him. We don't have to invent things. He's always very clear about what he wants. And And false religions are nothing but practices of men that they teach to other men. A lot of the ancient religions practiced by different peoples involve sacrifice. And we know our Yah does not accept human sacrifice. And he warned Israel not to wonder about the nations around them and how they serve their mighty ones. And why did he warn them? Because he knew they were going to be curious. He knew they were going to look at those nations around them and look at their practices and say, oh, why do they do that? Maybe we should try that. How many people do we see today that involve themselves in things because they think, oh, that looks neat. I think I will go practice that religion because I like those things they do. It's about the ritual and the form. It's not about the relationship with Yah at all. And he did not want Israel to be defiled by taking part in those practices that the nations around them did. Because those things made them unclean to him, defiled and corrupted. And those things those other nations were practicing were evil in his sight. They were an abomination. Verse 30 of 1 Kings 18. Hopefully you kept your Bible there and didn't close. 1 Kings 18, verse 30. Then Eliyahu said to all the people, come closer to me. And the people came closer to him, and he repaired the altar of Yah that was broken down. And Eliyahu took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Yaakov, to whom the word of Yah had come, saying, Israel is your name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of Yahweh, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. And he arranged the wood and cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water flowed around the altar, and he filled the trench with water too. And it came to be at the time of bringing the evening offering that Eliyahu the prophet came near and said, Yahweh Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, let it be known today, you are Elohim in Israel, and I, your servant, have done all these matters by your word. Answer me, O Yahweh, answer me, and let this people know that you are Yahweh Elohim, and you shall turn their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of Yahweh fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Eliyahu simply called on Yahweh and asked him to show Israel that he was their Elohim. He did not leap around. He did not cry out. He did not wave his arms. He did not cut himself. He didn't make a big show to entertain all the people. He brought his petition before Yah. And Yah answered him immediately. And his consuming fire fell on that altar. And in fact, as we just read, that consuming fire burned up the entire altar and even the dust. Prayer is not about putting on a show for people. And it should not be a point of pride for us either. There are so many things that we can turn into idolatry if we're not careful. And our communication with Him should not be one of those. When people put on a big show of prayer, they are taking the glory and praise away from Yah. You ever thought about that? They're calling attention to themselves. They're not putting the attention on Him. You know, we've seen these, I don't know what term you would want to use, but these men on TV and other places that put on these big entertaining shows for people, calling on His name and waving their hands. You know, some of them even have choreographed music and lights and everything else to accompany their show. And that's all it is a big show. And frankly, they're acting just like the prophets of Baal. Running around, making noise, leaping about, and yelling. Is Yah going to hear them any more than He heard those prophets of Baal? Matthew 6, verse 5. Matthew 6, verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the congregations and on the corners of the streets to be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and having shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. So it appears Yeshua did not think too highly of making a big show out of praying, doesn't it? In fact, He tells us to do just the opposite. We know Daniel went to his room to pray, Daniel. And I always picture David in a private place when he's praying that prayer of repentance. Because that was such an intimate conversation. I don't imagine he had a big audience around him as he was pouring his heart out to Yah. Verse 7 of Matthew 6. And when praying, do not keep on babbling like the nations, for they think that they shall be heard for their many words. And think about those prophets of Baal again. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I wonder if we really believe that. Do we really believe that he knows before we even ask him? It definitely affects the way we approach him, doesn't it? You know, we do not have to keep repeating ourselves, saying those same words over and over and over. The best prayers are those that come simply from the heart. When we speak our innermost being, our innermost thoughts to him, our feelings, what's on our minds. And he already knows what we need and where we are. But he wants to hear it from us. You know, because he does know what we need and where we are, we shouldn't automatically assume that he's just going to fix everything for us either, should we? He still wants to hear from us. Because that's what keeps the relationship going. And that's what makes the relationship stronger and deeper. And it establishes trust. You know, think about when Moshe was giving all of those reasons and excuses why he couldn't go to Egypt. And he thought, when he told Yah he was not a man of great words and that he couldn't speak, I think in his mind he was thinking, well, that's it. He's not going to be able to, you know, do anything about that. He's going to have to let me off the hook. And what did Yah tell him? He was sending his brother and he's already on the way. He knew what he needed. He knew what he was going to do. I mean, sometimes when we receive those quick answers to prayer, I think he's already acted. As soon as we got ourselves in the mode and went to him, he was already acting. You know, we've all had those things happen to us. But sometimes we don't have an immediate answer to prayer, do we? Sometimes we have to be persistent. You know, he wants to know that we are relying on him and trusting in him. And if we don't go to him and ask, how does he know? Well, they say they're trusting in me, but are they really? How are they trying to resolve this issue? And not only does he want to know that we are trusting and relying on him for our needs, but for others as well. All right, verse 9 of Matthew 6. This then is the way you should pray. Our Father who is in the heavens, let your name be set apart. Let your reign come. Let your desire be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into trial, but deliver us from the wicked one. Because yours is the reign and the power and the esteem forever. Amen. When no one can argue with that, can they? It's the words directly from our Messiah. He taught us how we should pray. And it is an example and a pattern of how we make petition to our Yah. How we come to Him with supplication. This was the only way I knew how to pray when I was growing up. I memorized this prayer, and this was how I prayed to Him when I was a child. After I advanced from, now I lay me down to sleep. I'm sure you all remember that one too. And it's a place for us all to start and learn from and draw from, because it covers everything. It gives Him praise. It gives Him honor. It gives Him glory. It acknowledges who He is. It acknowledges our reliance on Him for provision. So we're showing Him we know where everything we have comes from. And for forgiveness and protection. It's amazing that in a few short sentences, He covers every single thing, doesn't He? And He does not mean that we have to pray this exact same prayer every time. But it is a form and a pattern that we use to learn and to form our own prayers around. And there's a lot we can glean from that short prayer. And if anyone knew how to pray to the Father, it was our Messiah, wasn't it? How to approach Him. How to petition Him, because He is our high priest right now. And He goes before Him on our behalf. When Yeshua establishes His reign on this earth, you think people are just going to burst into His presence? No. Matthew 26, verse 36. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then Yeshua came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the top ones, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And He took with Him Kepha and the two sons of Zabdi, and he began to be grieved and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My being is exceedingly grieved, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And going forward a little, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." Yet not as I desire, but as you desire. And he came to the taught ones and found them asleep and said to Kepha, "So were you not able to watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into trial. The spirit indeed is eager, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away a second time and prayed, saying, "Oh my Father, if it is impossible for this to pass unless I drink it, let your desire be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Yeshua was facing the biggest trial of his life. Yet his prayer, his petition to Abba, was simple and to the point. He fell on his face and offered his petition to Yah. He didn't leap around. He didn't yell or scream. He came before him with prayer and supplication. No drama, no big show, no entertainment, no gathering of people to hear. He went off by himself to a place to pray. Did he understand what he had to do? Absolutely he did. Was he trying to get out of what he had to do? No. He was simply asking if there is another way. If it is possible for this to be done another way, then let it be so. But if not, let your will be done. Now, how many times have we come to him like little babies refusing to accept his answer? Because we want something so bad, and we know he's already told us no, but yet we keep going back time after time after time. Yeshua knew he was accepting his own death. And he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." Can we do that? Can we go honestly in prayer and ask that? Even if it means our own death. We have to remember that his ways are far, far above our ways. And his thoughts far above our thoughts. He's not affected by the things we are. You know, we get swayed one direction or another. And we always have to pray within his will. No matter what the consequences are for us. If we believe he has a plan for us, then don't we want to be within his will? We can be resisting him in our prayers if we're not careful. And I know no one wants to do that. If we're afraid, then we need to ask Him to help us overcome that fear. Whatever is causing a hindrance in our prayers, we go to Him to get that sorted out. We can't continue on crippled in prayer. Even Shaul asked 3 times for his affliction to be removed, didn't he? And Yah's answer was what? No. I have given you that affliction to keep you humble. And Shaul surrendered himself to his will. I have pain I deal with every day. I know some of you in this room do as well. Maybe we're bearing those things to keep us humble and to keep us looking to Him. You know, when you're young and you're 10 feet tall and bulletproof, you're just relying on yourself, aren't you? You know, we don't think about Him. I mean, we're after what we want. We got the world by the tail, and we're going to go out and make a name for ourselves. And sometimes He has to humble us to get us in the place He wants us to be. And we need to surrender ourselves to His will. And if He chooses to heal us of whatever problems we have, that's in His will too, isn't it? And it doesn't matter how many doctors you go and see, how much money you spend, it's ultimately in His hands. You know, one of the groups that Sherry and I were in for a while, I mean, all of the groups we were in believed in anointing, laying on hands and praying for people. But you know, it was a formality. Because many times people would come and ask to be anointed and to be prayed for after they'd already been to the doctor. After they had already gotten a diagnosis, many of them after they'd already been treated or were on medication. Then they came. Isn't that backwards? Shouldn't we seek Him first? Then if He directs us to be healed by going to the medical profession, then we have our answer, don't we? But to get that in reverse, how is that putting faith and trust in Him? And I went to the elder before I had my knee fixed, because I hadn't had surgery before, and honestly, I was a little scared. So I went to the elder and I asked him if he could anoint me and pray for me. And he said no. And I said, what do you mean? Well, we can anoint and pray for you after the surgery. And I thought, isn't the whole point that I could be healed so I don't even have to have the surgery? But it had become just a formality. And prayer is a formality for many people. You know, we better be trusting and believing when we go before him. He's taking the time to hear our petition. And if we don't believe he's going to do what we ask, then what's the point? James 5, verse 13. James 5, verse 13. Actually, it's Yaakov. Is any of you suffering evil? Let him pray. Is anyone in good spirits? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the assembly and let them pray over him, having anointed him with oil in the name of the Master. That doesn't say wait till after you go see someone, does it? No, it says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call. And the prayer of the belief shall save the sick. Of the belief. And the Master shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he shall be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another so that you are healed. You know, if we suffer in silence with an affliction, it's our own fault. Pray for one another so that you are healed. The earnest, the sincere, the heartfelt prayer of a righteous one accomplishes much. Consider this. What if you have an affliction and you're not as close to Yah as you should be while you have that affliction? But one of your brothers or sisters who is very close to Yah prays along with you for that affliction, and you're healed because of that. The earnest prayer of a righteous one accomplishes much. Eliyahu was a man with feelings like us, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the land brought forth its fruit. That's what a sincere prayer can do. I know I've said this before, but one of the greatest privileges we have is to pray for one another and to pray for one another's healing. And the sincere, heartfelt, and honest prayer of one who is righteous means a lot. It makes a difference. Why did people go seeking the apostles for healing? Because they knew they were righteous men. They trusted and believed, if that man prays for me, I'm going to be healed. And people were healed just from Peter's shadow falling on them. It's interesting that Yaakov added that in there, that it was the prayer of a righteous one. Does Yah hear all prayers? Does he act on all requests? Proverbs 28:9. He who turns away his ear from hearing the Torah, even his prayer, is an abomination. That's not something people want to hear, is it? If we turn our ear away from his word, why should we expect that he is going to act? And our prayers have to be asked of all sincerity and with absolute faith. And if we do not believe that Yah will answer us, and if we don't believe that he will consider and act on what we ask of him, then why should we be surprised when we receive no answer to our prayer? We are just going through the motions, following the formality, following the ritual for whatever reason, because we feel like it's something we have to do. And how many people do that over and over again, and they're already thinking in their mind, he's not going to do anything. He's not going to hear my prayer. Faith must accompany our prayers. And when we make decisions and when we take action and then pray after the fact, that is not faith. That's doing what we want to do and then expecting Yah to clean up the mess. Matthew 21, verse 19. Matthew 21, verse 19. And seeing a single fig tree by the way, he came to it and found naught on it but leaves, and said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. And immediately the fig tree withered. And the top one, seeing it, marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither so soon? And Yeshua answering said to them, truly I say to you, if you have belief and do not doubt, you shall not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be removed and be thrown into the sea, it shall be done. And whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So we need to approach our Abba humbly, never pridefully or arrogantly. And we should fall on our faces before him in prayer and supplication, asking in all sincerity and with complete faith, knowing that he hears. Knowing that he hears and acts on the prayers of his people. Not demanding, but with the expectation that he will keep his promises. That he will answer, that he will act, and that he will give us what we ask as long as it is within his will. Amen. Yivarekech Yahweh, Vayishmarecha, Ya'er Yahweh Panav Eleka, Vihuneka, Yisa Yahweh Panav Eleka, Vayashilin Laha Shalom. Yahweh bless you and protect you. Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yahweh turn back his face towards you and give you shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
You have been listening to the weekly Shabbat teaching of Congregation Beit HaEmet, brought to you by HaEmet Ministries, where we encourage you to rethink, relearn, and return to the pure word and way of our Elohim. For more teaching, resources, and information about HaEmet Ministries, please visit our website at www.haemet.org. That's www.haemet.org. May our Abba bless you richly throughout this coming week and guide you into his truth. Shavua Tov.